powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Where have we gone to? Father, we give you thanks and praise for the day and for your word. And we pray that your Spirit may teach us the things we need to know this day, that we may become more like Christ Jesus, that we may draw closer to him and know his love and life in us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So as we've said, today is the day in the church's calendar when we think particularly about the revelation of Jesus beyond the nation of the Jews to the whole world. The Epiphany, we call it, or we're in the first Sunday of Epiphany. Epiphany started yesterday, the 6th of January. And in the Western Church, that's us, we most often think of the Epiphany in relation to the arrival of the Magi, the wise men from the East. But in the Eastern Church, they follow a more ancient tradition of linking it with the baptism of Jesus and particularly the message and ministry of John the Baptist, as we've heard today. So in Mark's Gospel, we've heard of John coming and Jesus being baptized, and when he is baptized, of course, he comes out of the water and we hear those words, or we see those words, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Those words confirming the identity of Jesus to the whole world. And for us to grasp what that revelation means, together with the Eastern Church, we need to do some work on understanding the message that John brought to point to Jesus. What is it that John said and did that is so revelatory? Well, as we read, John's message was a message, a baptism of repentance. The sign and symbol John administered was dunking people in the water. But it was not about Jesus. John's baptism was not about Jesus. It was about the people who were being dunked. They were preparing themselves to meet the one who was coming. So it was about their own hearts and their own minds and their own faith. So we need to get into our heads that the baptism that John brings is not the baptism that we receive as Christians. We are not baptized in the way that John baptized. It might look the same, particularly if we go down to the river and dunk ourselves in it, or get someone to dunk ourselves in it, but it is not the same. Different purpose and intention altogether. So let's think about this word repentance, which John's baptism was all about. And note that baptism is about good and bad. It's about good and bad. It means a change of direction. To turn away from one thing in order to start doing another thing. Stop doing good, stop doing bad, start doing good. Be a blessing. So it's something of the heart, okay? The heart's desire of a person to want to do good things in the world and to bless other people in it. You can see that in the gospel. And John came in the wilderness preaching a repentance for the forgiveness of sins. If you don't want to bear the terrible burden of your wrongdoing, then show you don't want anything to do with it by stopping sinning and starting to bless people by doing good. Bless yourself, bless other people by doing good in the world. In Luke's gospel, you may know that account of the baptism of John, and John comes, and the people come out to John, and he gives them specific things according to their life circumstances as to what repentance would look like. So the tax collectors come. Boo to the tax collectors. What should we do, they say? And he says, stop cheating the people. And the soldiers come. Boo, the Romans. And he says to them, what should we do? And he says, don't extort from the people. Don't bully them. And then the ordinary people come and say, what should we do? And he says, share what you have. Don't keep it for yourselves. Have a mind for the poor. All of that's in Luke's account of John and his ministry. He gives particular things for their particular circumstances that they should stop doing and start doing. And we understand this kind of repentance. We know this instinctively. We've understood it since we were little, when we were children, and they said to us, say sorry. And we go, sorry. And then we're told, say it like you mean it. We don't get past that level of repentance. We struggle when we do good to really mean it, often. We live with that terrible feeling that we want to do good, but we're worried that we shall never be good enough. We want to clean ourselves up, but we're plagued by the memory of the bad things that we've done, the wrong and the guilt of the good things we haven't done. We don't ever get to the point of really knowing that that our repentance has brought us forgiveness of our sin. And it appears from what Luke tells us in the book of Acts that this group of disciples that Paul met down in Ephesus were still at that point. He asks them if they have received the Holy Spirit. And the question is beyond them. They've never heard of such a thing. What baptism did you receive, they say, and they answer, well, John's baptism. So they're clearly deficient in their spiritual life. Wanting to be a blessing is a good start, but it's not it. There is more. And they were lacking in their understanding and in their spiritual experience. And in the end, as you follow that story through, what is lacking is given to them, as we'll see. Important moment that what happens in Ephesus sets the tone. But the first point is to stop doing bad and start doing good. That's your level one repentance. Be a blessing. But then when we get the way Paul speaks to them, the repentance to stop believing that believing that you're good and start believing that Jesus is good. Stop believing you're good, start believing that Jesus is good. Paul tells those disciples down in Ephesus, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and then he told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. This is something to do with our mind. We choose to believe is true, what's true. The word repentance, as much as meaning a change of direction, is about a change of mind. Repentance calls for a change in us. A change of mind about who can be good. John's words are very telling. He says, after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to bend down and untie. Paul's pointing away from himself, not claiming the power for himself, saying the power of Jesus to do good is far greater than any power that we have to do good. In fact, remember in John chapter 15, Jesus says, without me, you can do no good thing. A remarkable statement. Without me, you can do nothing good. And the reason we don't get to the point of knowing our forgiveness deep in our soul, just by stopping bad and starting to do good, is because it implies that if we can do good enough, we will be good enough. But it never seems to work out that way. The belief that we can do good is a false belief. We always let ourselves down somewhere along the way, either by action or intention or attitude. And it's actually quite a difficult thing to get our heads around. I knew a man who'd been in church for many, many years, and he was a Mason, which is actually a completely different belief system from Christianity. It's modelled on the idea that by acts of kindness and generosity, you can, especially by helping fellow Masons, you can accredit yourself with goodness. We'd have conversations about it often, me and this chap. Why Masons aren't the same as Christians. And the thing that he could never get his head around was that at the center of Christianity isn't the notion of doing good things in order to be right with God. He'd heard it often, week after week, especially from me, but he couldn't get it. He couldn't change his mind to think differently, because his basic belief was that by doing good human things, he could make himself a good human being. Paul says, stop believing that you can be good. Start believing that Jesus is good for you. No one ever did it before him. No one ever has done it after him. He fulfills the requirements of being good in himself. And the wonderful thing is that it's not just the power of Jesus to do good that's greater than our power to do good. It's that the power of Jesus to do good is greater than our power to do bad. The power of Jesus to do good is greater than our power to do bad. Which means that when we believe in him, he accredits us with all the benefits of his goodness. Or to put it another way, he makes us good when we believe in him, even if we continue at times to do bad things. I went to the old ladies in their home, where we had a little service every month. And one day after the service and coffee was happening, a conversation broke out about being good. And they, of course, they trotted out the great phrase, no one's perfect. And I said, well, I am. And I've got Bible to back it up. They very nearly didn't have me back. It was such an affront to them. When I told them that there was no such thing as a good Christian, only a forgiven one, that was even worse. But the point is, I have no goodness in myself, only the goodness of Christ that is in me. And that's the point of the real depth of repentance. It's something of a paradox. Something that, you know, a paradox. It's when the answer's neither in one nor the other, nor in the middle, but in the extremes of both. Yeah, you've got that kind of sense of paradox. The paradox is that repentance calls us to stop trying to do good in order to start doing good. Stop trying to do good in order to start doing good. That's not to say that we should just give up, that good and bad don't matter, we know they do. But I'm saying that it's something to do with the Spirit. It's about shifting our focus away from ourselves and focusing on Jesus. Away from outer things to the inner work of the Holy Spirit in us. I baptize you with water, says John, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So when Paul comes to these disciples at Ephesus, he comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a dynamic power. Read the text. It's an active power that enables them to do what they couldn't do before. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of Jesus, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied when Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came, and they were energized by the power of the Spirit working in them. So when we're baptized into Jesus, there's a new dynamic that goes on in us. Yes, a change of heart, being blessed, being a blessing by stopping doing bad and doing good, that's the first part. Yes, there's a change of mind, believing that Jesus is the one whose power to do good is greater than our power to do bad. That's the next step. But most of all, it's about a change of spirit, being born again. Directing our eyes of faith towards Jesus, who joins his Spirit with our spirit, so that by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit, we're working goodness out of us. That goodness that God works out of us, he has first put into us when we believe. You know, a water jug. You can pour water out of a jug and the water in the jug goes down. Well, that's one way of thinking about doing good and not doing bad. You can, you know, affect the world around you by being a good person. But if you put that jug square on the ground under the tap and turn the tap on, the source of the water fills the jug and it overflows the jug by itself and out into the ground to affect everything around it. And what's more, the water in the jug is continually renewed by the water that's pouring in. And that's an analogy of what God does through his Spirit in us, pouring his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, as Romans 5 tells us, pouring his love into our hearts. And if we're open to that love and continually standing in that love overflows from us to the world around. We can't help it doing it. But if we're to do that, we must stop trying to do good for our own sake, because we think it's somehow make us better people. And we need to ask Jesus to do goodness in us for his sake, so that the honor goes to him with what he's able to do through us. Stop trying to do good and let Jesus do good through you. If you try to do good, you'll only get in the way. So let the love, the goodness of Jesus flow through you. Keep the focus of him in your spiritual life. So, three things then. Stop, that we've learned about repentance. It involves the heart, it involves the mind, and it involves the spirit. We can stop doing bad and start doing good, but it won't bring you the experience of forgiveness. But stop believing in yourselves and start believing in Jesus. That's great, but it won't bring you the power to do good. The spiritual key to repentance is to stop trying to do good in order to let Jesus do good in us and through us. That's what the baptism of Jesus into Jesus that we have received is really about. It fulfills all that John was talking about in his baptism of repentance. But our baptism is the baptism of regeneration in the Spirit that enables us to do the things we couldn't do before. Then we will know the power of forgiveness and the power of his love in the world. Jesus revealed at Epiphany will be revealed to us, and he will be revealed through us to the world. Amen.